You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 188 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
Hi, Brutal Dave here.
What's up, Brutal Dave? What were you going to say?
I just said good evening.
Oh, good evening, sir. And who else do we have?
Hey, George Trips us on the mic.
Welcome, sir. I don't know why that made me laugh so much, but it did.
Because I'm a funny motherfucker. That's why.
I don't think that's the reason, but moving on. We also have with us again.
The man with no nickname, Justin.
Well, that is a nickname now.
That is your new nickname, man.
It's the man with no nickname. It works.
It's like the man with no fear, but.
Or, I don't have a lot of that either.
Or the man with no name.
That's right. But he does have a name. Just no nickname.
Yes, that is correct.
So how's everyone doing? How's everybody's past few weeks been?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Can't complain.
Not bad. Just busy as shit.
Yeah. You're about to take a little vacay, though, aren't you?
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm about to disappear for about a week. It's going to be awesome.
Going off grid.
That's right. Get aligned with Mother Nature.
You're going to come back looking like Andy. Wearing flannel and overalls.
I did buy a flannel shirt, by the way.
Did you really?
Start.
Well, it's supposed to be cold this weekend or next week, so yeah. I bought a flannel shirt just in case.
You're going to a state park, or?
Yeah, we're going to a state park up near Austin.
Very cool. Well, I hope you have a good time. You're not going to be glamping at all? Is this regular camping?
The closest glamping that we're going to be doing is I bought a... an electric generator to air up my air mattress because I'm too lazy to do it by hand.
And to watch your movies and your TV, right?
No. Like I said, we're not going to have any signal where we are. So it's going to be I'll probably bring like a book or two, just kind of read in the middle of the night so I can go to sleep easy. But that's about it.
So this is I'm amazed by this, man. This is not who I thought you were. So this is literal camping, sleeping in a tent on the ground.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
Well, I mean, in an air mattress.
In an air mattress on the ground.
Yeah. It's like glamping light. It's just not in a cabin or something.
Right.
There is restrooms nearby, and I think the restrooms have showers and whatnot. So it's not like
okay,
it would be smelly and I have to go dig a hole to take a shit or anything like that.
Why even go camping, George, at that point? Yeah. I mean, honestly.
That's how I feel about it. I've been camping before. Zero stars, would not recommend. I'm an indoor person.
Yeah, I'll be sure to give you guys a full report about either how good or how terrible it is.
That's right. At least you won't be around anybody, that's for sure.
That's
basically the idea, is to vacation somewhere where there's not like a crap ton of people.
So we just got back early in this week. My birthday was last weekend, so we decided we wanted to go somewhere, but we didn't want to fly anywhere, and there's not much to really do. So we just spent a couple of days in Austin, which is only a couple hour drive. We found this really cool hotel. It's called the Lone Star Court. Up in North Austin, and I can't think of the name. It's in the middle of like a big shopping center, basically, with stores I would never ever go into in my life. But the place was cool. It's like inside of like this own little bubble, you know. Once you get in there, you're there. And Friday and Saturday nights when we were there, you're able to bring your own drinks. There was a little live band on the patio, and everybody was hanging out. Everybody was socially distanced, and there was like a fire pit, and it was just a fun little place to stay. We went around Austin a little bit. I was trying to find cool places that I'd never been to. You ever been to Hula Hut in Austin, George?
No, can't say that I have.
It's on, I guess, on the lake there. It's owned by, I guess, I found out it's owned by the same company that owns Chewy's, but it's more like
Chewy's.
Chewy's starts in Austin, so that makes
sense. And they've been around, they've been there for a long time, but it's like it's sort of like a Chewy's, but it's a little, there's a little bit more like Hawaiian flavors and, you know, like Caribbean style food, you know, but it's still.
So instead of green chilies, they just put pineapples and everything?
Pretty much, yeah. I had a, a chicken breast. I had like a poblano pepper and then like cheese and like pineapple on top of that.
See?
Yep. You're not wrong. When you're not wrong, you're not wrong. It was actually pretty good though. It was a beautiful location. It was right there on the lake there, and I had some good drinks. And
was this Lake Travis?
Yeah, I believe so.
Nice.
It was nice. And then Saturday we just drove around a little bit. We went to a couple different record stores. On Friday I had to make a reservation for Waterloo because of everything social distance. They give you like a half an hour time, or you can just call them if you're there and they'll, you know, curbside everything to you, which is pretty cool. But we got to be in the store by ourselves for about half an hour, which is fun. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you like throw discs across the room and shit?
Not one that was not planning to buy. No, I can't afford that. I did find a couple cool things in here and there. I think I bought an Insomnium album. I bought Typo Negative, World Coming Down.
I'm just curious, since you like reserved the space for 30 minutes, mm-hmm. did you feel like obligated to buy something?
Apparently, every person that comes in there with you can bring up to like 2 to 4 people as long as they're in your network, your family. I think everybody was supposed to spend $25, but when I asked her about it, she said that's not a, they're not really enforcing it that much. So
I mean, it's not like they can make you
right.
Like
right.
They hold you down and take the money out of your wallet.
I'm just curious, like you're forcing these people
your feet,
to like
shake you around,
shake you out, shake all your money out of your pockets.
I mean, I just wonder, like you personally, did you feel obligated? As like, oh well, I did make them make me let me in.
Yes, a little bit. But I knew there was gonna be something I was gonna find there. You know.
Sure.
But you
always find something at every record store you go to.
That's true. Not denying that.
Yeah.
But it was cool. And then we went to another store the next day called Piranha Records. I'd never been there. It was a little bit north. What's that, Dave?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I never heard of Piranha Records.
I hadn't either. I've
only been to Waterloo.
Yeah, they weren't. I mean, a lot of the stores weren't open. Like End of an Ear, which is a really cool store, was not open. If you knew what you were looking for, they would, you know, bring it to your car. But I had no idea what they had in the store. But this other store was Piranha Records. It was little far away, but not too far from our hotel. Maybe like 15-20 minutes. In 15-20 minutes in Austin, you're like on the other side of town. It's not like Houston.
Sure. I mean, it's a really tiny town.
It is. It is. And it was cool. I found an Anthrax box set. A couple of Monkees, like 45, and Kim got actually 2 Nevermore vinyl. So,
wow.
I think she's going to try to collect those maybe. One of them was like a Record Store Day one from a couple years ago, which is pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Overall, we had a good time. And Saturday, dude, I know you're going to like this place, George. It's called Jew Boy Burgers, right? It's so fucking good. Apparently, it's just opened up in the past few months. He was a food truck, apparently. But their burgers were amazing, and they have like 3 different kinds of potato lockies there, right? They have one that's like green chili and cheddar cheese potato locky. And you would think, okay, that's just a locky, and they put the green chilies on and the cheese on top of it. No, this is like in the batter made. So next Hanukkah, when y'all come over, if we can have people come over, you're going to see some new recipes, I think. Cool. It was amazing, though. And the guy that owned it, really nice guy named Mo, talked to him for a little while, and I was like, I want a shirt, because like their logo was amazing. And
is it the logo with the Mexican wrestler on it?
No, they didn't have a shirt of that, but they do. That was like right above our table. We were outside. That was one thing.
I'm looking at the website now. That's why.
That's a huge, their billboard. That was one of the things that we were trying to figure out while we were there too, is we're not eating inside yet. So we were trying to find places where we could sit outside.
Well, at least they have funny names for the burgers.
Yeah.
The Oy Vey Way burger.
Which one was that?
Hatch green chilies covered with pepper jack cheese and mustard on the bottom of the bun.
Yep. Is that the one with pastrami too?
It doesn't say.
Okay. I know the one I had was like pastrami, but it was like real sick. It was like not like real thin cut. It was pretty damn good. We could only eat like half our burgers, man. They were huge.
Is the guy Hispanic by any chance?
No.
There is a lot of Hispanic food on here.
Well, yeah, there's burritos and stuff that like that too. Yeah.
So instead of french fries, they do lock these instead.
No, they have french fries too. They have french fries and tots and onion rings and all that stuff. But we actually got a basket. So we gave us like a basket of like half fries and half tots. The fries are like the big steak cut fries, you know?
So this was like your favorite place of eating out at Austin.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the third day we actually met up with a buddy of ours, James, and we were all protected, of course. We're all wearing condoms, but somebody's about to make that joke, I know. But we went to Terry Black's barbecue.
Terry Black?
Terry Black. It's
barbecue?
Yeah, it's the Sun has a location near downtown.
Midtown, right? Downtown?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Is it the sit down one or the tiny one?
It was sit down. There was a huge patio and everything. So
okay, that's the big one. That's like off of Guadalupe Street.
I believe so. That's correct. Yeah. Oh. Have you been there before?
Yeah, it's a good place. I go there all the time.
It's not my. I don't think it was my favorite barbecue, but it was pretty good.
I think the original Blacks is better, but that's pretty good.
We were going to try Salt Lake, but it was just too far away.
Salt Lake's overrated.
Is it really?
I think it is.
Go ahead, Justin.
I'm on keto right now.
Yeah.
I tried the Sweet Baby Ray's sugar-free barbecue.
I have
Dude, that's my favorite barbecue sauce now.
It is so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew about it, but I do. Tell you.
So on keto, it's hard to find sauces for shit.
Yeah.
So he also
makes yellow mustard, and that's it.
He also makes a ketchup that's pretty good.
Really?
So yeah, ever since I discovered that dude's sauce, that's all I ever buy. I actually kind of prefer it to other sauces now.
I think it's better than the regular Sweet Baby Ray's because I've had both, and I was just amazed at how good it is considering the sugar free.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Welcome back to the keto friendly podcast. No, I'm back on keto mostly too. I have faltered a few places here and there, but even on the vacation, I didn't really eat a lot of bread, you know, because you don't really have to.
Except for the Luckies and...
The potatoes. You guys were talking about potatoes and make me hungry.
I haven't cut potatoes out of my diet, so just mostly bread. That's okay, though. But I did have a bagel. I don't know. I guess I didn't do too well.
It's okay, man. You can have some carbs. It's not illegal.
I've been completely carb-free for 2 weeks now. Just eating meat and vegetables and the vegetables that are acceptable. And then occasionally nuts, pecans. Anyways, I'm waiting for Halloween because Halloween's my cheat day. And then I'm going back on it until Thanksgiving, and then Thanksgiving's my cheat day. And then I'm back on it again until Christmas break. So,
and when he means Halloween's his cheat day, I mean, he's going to fucking cheat every candy.
I'm getting like two pizzas and a bunch of candy.
I knew it. If you're going to go all out, just go all out. Right, man.
I mean, I stuck with it for a month, so why not?
Yeah. So what have you been up to, Dave?
I've been trying to get my shit back together. COVID's kicked my ass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to
feel you, man.
Get reorganized and like get back to working out. I put on a ton of COVID weight.
I have to
stop exercising and all that shit, and so I'm trying to get that together, get my own planning and just like getting the house pulled together, but that's been keeping me busy. But we've been in the evenings. I think I talked about this last time, but we've been sitting out and listening to like old radio dramas.
Yeah.
And some modern stuff as well that's like posted to YouTube and stuff. People doing dramatic readings of ghost stories or, you know, murder mysteries and that kind of thing. But yeah, you know, we'd listen to a lot of these like old radio plays from the 40s and 50s and 60s and that kind of thing. Just kind of sit out and enjoy the night and do that. It's been fun. We enjoy that. Playing when I play anything, which hasn't been much recently, mm-hmm. I've been playing Star Wars Squadrons.
I need to jump back on that. I haven't really played since we talked last. Since, you know, we went out of town and then I've been just watching a shitload of movies, which we'll talk about later. I haven't really been playing many games at all.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. It's cool to just kind of like, you can sort of jump into it and play for just a little bit. And I feel like I'm getting a better handle on the controls. There was a definite learning curve on the controls for this
thing. Yeah, I know we talked about last time. I haven't got there yet, and the VR was kicking my butt.
Yeah, I bet it was very disorienting.
Oh, yeah.
We sat through, let's see, what did we watch recently? We went through all of Haunting of Bly Manor, which I know Justin hated.
I hated it so much.
But
I haven't seen Haunting of Hill House yet, so.
Hill House is great.
You don't Bly Manor have to. Is
terrible.
I didn't hate Bly Manor. Was great. I thought Hill House is significantly better, but there are moments in Bly Manor that are just, I think, adapt the book really well.
It's just so slow. That's the problem. Like, I mean, like The Innocents is probably the best Turn of the Screw movie, right? And I saw The Innocents a couple years ago. It's a pretty great movie. The Haunting of Bly Manor tells the same story that The Innocents tells in an hour and a half, but it takes them 5 episodes to do it. And they don't do anything really original until the 6th episode. And it's like every single beat is just so boring and predictable. All the things they added in, nothing creepy happens. There's no creepiness. There's no scary ghost. There's no anything horrific.
I think
you can't really call it a horror story. It's a love story that contains some ghosts.
I would agree that it's not a horror story. I would say it's a ghost story.
Yeah, it's a drama with the ghosts. It's all I can really say.
It's boring as fuck. I love slow burn stuff.
It overstays its welcome, for sure. I totally agree with you. I think it overstays its welcome. There are some really good ideas, and the acting is really good, and there's some great emotional beats throughout that whole show. I just wish it was, like, 5 episodes instead of, what, how long was it? 9? Eight, or 9?
It was 9.
Yeah, it should have been like 3 or 4 episodes in and out, and there was so much meat that they were like chewing.
Netflix had that same problem with some of the Marvel series they did too. It just felt stuff was dragged out for too long, where it could have cut it down to like 4 or 5 episodes, you know?
They haven't really learned because they did that in Hellstrom as well, but Hellstrom's actually really good.
Is it?
Yeah,
I've heard totally opposite of that.
I enjoyed it. Well, if you like the previous Marvel Netflix series, you'll really like Hellstrom.
Okay.
It's similar to those, but they definitely aren't fast enough on some things.
Is that on Hulu?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Hulu, okay. Very cool. Has everybody caught up on Lovecraft Country?
Yeah.
Yes, I haven't even started it yet.
Okay. Any spoilers, because
I don't want to spoil anything for Dave, but just kind of let down with the ending. I thought they rushed the ending.
I agree on that. Finally, I agree with you.
Well, we're all in agreement on that. I feel like the beginning of the episode, they were continuing at the same pace and everything was great. And then it's like they rushed, you know, to get to the end. And I don't know. I was kind of disappointed with it because the series had been so good up until that point.
Right.
It wasn't terrible or anything. I mean, it still leaves.
It's even on its worst episode, it's still a great show.
Yeah.
It started so strong, to have it kind of end on a whimper like that kind of bothered me. And like, it ended in a way where you're not really sure if they're coming back for more or not, but it made too much money for it not to. So I'm pretty sure they're going to do a season 2.
We started watching this documentary on Hulu last night. It's from Shudder. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's like the history of horror movies in black cinema.
Black noir.
Yes. something like that. We watched about half of it last night before I fell asleep, but it's pretty good. And it just made me think about, you know, how important Lovecraft Country really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the only white people in that movie are that TV series are the bad guys.
Yeah, Misha Green, the writer and showrunner of the show, is doing a great job. It just boggles my mind. Why didn't they just extend the series out for two more episodes to really give it the ending it needed? I just don't understand.
And there wasn't a lot of Lovecraftian horror stuff. Like in the very first episode, they showed that flashback to him in the war and then he's fighting the, you know, demons.
I disagree. There's a ton of Lovecraftian stuff in there, but
the whole show is pretty Lovecraftian-esque.
Well, yeah, I
mean,
but
there's more to Lovecraft than Cthulhu. I mean, really they fit Cthulhu in the first episode, but there's a lot of stuff throughout the entire thing that really fits into Lovecraft's mythos.
Well, then maybe when I think about Lovecraft, I guess that's the first thing that comes to my mind is like Cthulhu and that type of stuff.
Everyone, like first thing they jump to is that. However, in the beginning of the show, it wasn't a flashback. It was just a dream sequence because he was reading John Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah.
It was his own imagination in the dream sequence. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like those little girls were definitely Lovecraftian.
Dude, those girls were creepy as shit.
That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in any series ever.
Those little girls were fucking creepy. They got that right. Yeah. And then the scenes where they would shed the skin.
The transformation scenes were so Lovecraftian, people living inside of other people. Like there's a lot of stuff.
So one of the movies I was spoiled that I watched was Trick or Treat. And not to spoil it for anybody, but there's a scene, these girls turn out to be werewolves, right? And they take off their skin. And I was like, oh, that looks stupid compared to like Lovecraft Country. I was like, it does not hold up.
Well, that was a movie made in what, 2004?
Yeah, made a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I was you're like, not spoiling it. You know, it's if they're being spoiled by that, you know, it's way past the statute of limitations.
I guess so. But the whole time I was watching it, I'm like, oh God, they need it. Yeah. Not as good as what Lovecraft Country. I'm creeped out by that still. Especially when they're having sex and they're body parts were coming. I was like, damn it.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of awesome stuff. I think you'll really enjoy it when you get around to it, Dave.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. I just got to get there.
Because the one main guy, he's like, he's going to be supposedly king, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be King the Conqueror.
Yeah, he was good in that other movie, the Six Bloods or whatever. Is that what it's called?
The Five Bloods.
The Five Bloods, yeah, on Netflix. Yeah. He was good in that, too.
He's also good in what was that? The Last Black Man in San Francisco or something like that.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't seen that one. He's a solid actor though. He was great. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do.
And the main girl, I can't think of her name now, but her brother was the dude in that one series who like faked being attacked by cops.
She was also in School of Rock.
Was she?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, she's the little black girl from School of Rock.
The ones with pigtails?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
We're old.
I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
Are you kidding? Oh, my God.
I'm more than certain it's her.
Okay, who wants to bet on this one now? What's her name? Okay, I'm looking this up, so who's on board that they don't believe that?
I believe it. George usually does his homework on this kind of stuff, so.
He does. Jumi Smollett. Her brother was the guy. Let's see. Let's go here to early works. Go to filmography. Film. Nope. Don't see anything about School of Rock.
If she's not her, then she definitely looks like that little girl. I could be wrong. It's possible.
She was in the Birds of Prey movie.
She was in a movie called Captain Planet 4. I didn't know they made three previous Captain Planet movies.
It's that Don Cheadle stuff.
Was it the short film?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to think where I saw her then. If it's not she played a little kid in the movie.
She was in the movie Jack with Robin Williams.
That's the movie. There you go. See, I knew it was, she played a little kid in a movie where I recognized her from.
Yeah. She was in Roll Bounce, too.
I never seen that. Okay. I've seen Jack. That's where I recognized her from. It wasn't School Rock. I got those two mixed up. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You can owe me money later.
I don't have any money, so.
Oh.
She was also in Full House and Hanging with Mr. Cooper, so.
She was in 19 episodes of True Blood.
I never watched True Blood.
Oh, I did because my wife watched it, so. I know it.
We all know you're
a fan. A likely story.
Mm-hmm.
We all know you're about those steamy vampire dudes. And Anna Paquin with her gap tooth.
Hey, No, I'm not even going there.
George does not like Anna Paquin.
I do not like Anna Paquin. I think she's an overrated actress who just got lucky, and she's very annoying is what I find her as.
Like Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes.
Well, there's some weight behind that one. She's the worst.
Who?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, that's true. Very cool.
Old horse face. As Andy likes to call her, old horse face.
Man, that's Matthew Broderick's wife.
So?
I feel sorry for Matthew Broderick.
So one of the things I want to talk about, I was a guest on a podcast this week called The Gaggle of Geeks. This is the dude, Patrick Beatty. I went against him on Craig Price's show, and he beat my butt on it, but he invited me on his show. And we played a really cool game. It was called, oh God, what was it called? I can't think of it. So basically we had to go through, what's up?
I don't know. I was just naming off games.
What were you going to say?
I said I Spy. It was the game y'all played.
No. So basically what he did is he went on to Cameo. You know what Cameo is, right?
Yeah.
I got a really cool Cameo from my birthday, actually, from my wife. She hired Devin Townsend to give me a birthday one, which was really, really cool. And actually, I took the clip.
Is what he talked about, right?
P standing up.
Told Carrie to P sitting down.
That's right. But I took his intro when he was like, hey, Carrie. That's my text message tone now. So every time that Devin Townsend is yelling at me, I don't have a text message. But so this game he played, there was three of us playing, and he gave us a name of somebody that's on Cameo. We had to basically guess how much they charge for a Cameo.
The answer is too much for anyone.
Mostly, yes. So it was ranging anywhere from George from Seinfeld to the fly on Michael Spence's head, and like William Hung and all these different people. I was the winner of that game, and my prize was I was going to get a Cameo by the cheapest Cameo that was talked about that day. You know who that happened to be?
From Mike Pence's head?
No, it was William Hung. So, yeah, that happened this afternoon when he sent that to me. I didn't think he was going to go through with it, but Patrick, if you're listening, you are a man of your word. You're a mensch. And fuck you very much for sending me a William Hung.
So what did William Hung tell you?
I can tell you right now, cause I have the video on my phone. I don't know if you guys can be able to hear this, but we'll figure this out here. He says my name, which is creepy enough. I don't know why the audio is not playing. What is going on here? Never mind.
It was a one-time play.
Hold on. Let's see if this works.
Hi, Carrie. This is William Hung from American Idol. Congratulations for winning a competition called The Cost is Spots on Gaggle of Geeks. You definitely bang. You are amazing. And here is a special song for you.
And just do it. Okay, we don't have to hear the song. I don't know what the fuck that is, but I definitely bang. That's my...
definitely bang.
I definitely bang.
You need a shirt that says that now.
I do. You definitely.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Oh, great. That was fun, though. I mean, I didn't expect him to really go through with that, but he did. Yeah, there's some interesting people on Cameo. If you're looking for an interesting present to get somebody, there you go. Most of Anthrax is on there too. You can get fucking Frank Bello for like $25.99. It's ridiculous. Huh. It's crazy.
I mean, it's a cool concept. I think that some of those celebrities charge way too much.
Apparently not William Hung. He's only $20, so.
So everybody that's listening to this for Christmas, Kerry wants William Hung to send him like 500.
No, I do not. Definitely do not.
So everybody order one.
We should. I think I'm going to steal that idea from him. We're going to play that game next time. I'm going to go through and pull out some names from Cameo, and we're going to play that game. And I will, if it's $20, I will pay for that Cameo as well.
It sounds like a terrible, terrible idea.
Or a phenomenal one. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. All right, let's move on to our topic of the evening, because I want to talk about all the movies that I've been watching based on your guys' recommendations. And then we're going to do a little George Hates Metal, and there's some new metal releases that I actually want to talk about that we will get into in that segment. So we'll be right back. And we're back to the show. So I was given a lot of homework to do. Last episode during our topic, we talked about what movies I should be watching in October for the Halloween season. And I haven't got to all of them, but I've gotten to a pretty good chunk of them. So what I wanted to do tonight is talk about some of those movies. Talk about the list that I got to, and then we can talk about other things as well that I should be watching too. So I made a list here. I'm trying to find it. I lost it now. All right. Pulled out my list. So I added a couple to mine just because when I was browsing, I'm like, that looks interesting. So I'll watch that. But right now I have 55 movies on my list. And I've probably watched 15, maybe about 17, 18, maybe around there.
Pretty good in about a week.
Yeah, well, it's not bad.
It's been a couple weeks, but. So, first one I watched, Mom and Dad. And you're going to see a trend here because fucking Nick Cage is going crazy, I think. Not going crazy, he's going crazier.
I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know, dude. Some of these movies I watched recently, yes, I think it is possible. I gave this movie a B. It wasn't horrible.
That's generous of you, actually. But
was it?
Yeah. I thought it was good. I don't know how much you know about that movie. That movie
I don't
was
know.
Did you ever see those Crank movies?
Yeah.
With Statham? So this is like the one half of the directing team. The directing team split up to go their own separate ways. So this is a one and a half team.
I did not know that.
And he's been trying to make this horror movie about parents killing their kids for the longest time. And with the star power of Nick Cage, it was made possible.
It's kind of how Color Out of Space happened, too.
It's exactly right.
All you need is Nick Cage. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it wasn't a horrible movie. I enjoyed it for what it was. It was sort of campy, but yeah, it was fun.
I think the best part for me is when the grandparents show up.
Yeah, start kicking Nick Cage's ass.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad. Let's see. Moving on, I watched Hereditary. Okay, let's preface this. I watched Midsommar, and then I watched Hereditary right after each other.
Okay. All right?
So, same director, if I'm not mistaken. Am I correct?
Yeah, they're both Ari Aster.
Ari Aster, that's correct. Okay. I gave Midsommar an A+. Yeah. I really, really liked that movie. It wasn't, I don't know, I didn't really like it that much when I was watching. I did like it. I enjoyed it. But it was one of those movies, like, right after I watched it, I'm like, you know, I want to see that again. It stuck with me.
It's an experience.
It is. It is not really a super horror movie. It's just a weird thriller type. What the fuck is going on?
Well, I watched the director's cut.
I need to borrow that from you now.
For the first time, I finally got around to watching the director's cut as part of my 31 days of horror movies. And it's just even the second go around, I loved it even more. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. So impactful and just, I don't know. It makes you feel a lot of different emotions all throughout it. And you care so much about her and you care so much about what's going on with her, but you don't care about the other characters at all. George is right about that.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about any of them.
But I liked having Chidi from in there. I mean, I cared what happened to him, even though he just sort of disappeared, but
yeah, I love it. I mean, it's a very polarizing movie. So many people feel like we do, and so many people like George do. So, you know, it's one of those movies that everybody should watch and make up their own mind about.
Sure. Dave, have you seen Midsommar yet?
I haven't seen either of those.
Okay.
I feel like it's an absolute masterpiece.
And I think, from what I know of Dave, I think Dave would really, really enjoy Midsommar.
I think Dave would like Midsommar a lot more than Hereditary.
Yes,
as well.
I agree on that. So moving on to Hereditary, I gave it a C. I saw the ending was good. It was just very slow, slowly paced, and the way it was shot. I don't know. I know what it was supposed to be.
It's two different movies. That's the problem with Hereditary.
Yeah.
The first half of the movie is fantastic. Like, honestly, I felt like the suspense was doing a great job of building up. I love the first half of the film. It's just after the big thing that turns the story.
Sure.
Which I don't want to spoil because I know some people haven't seen it.
Right.
It becomes a completely different film. You know, everything that they'd set up is completely changed.
I'm sorry, George. Huh? I can't hear you. We can't understand what you're saying.
I say I disagree entirely. I think both aspects.
We still can't understand you. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, if you're not going to listen, I'm not going to explain.
No. Go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
That's not true.
Go ahead, dude. I want to hear your opinion on it.
No, I mean, I've said it last time on here. I think both halves of what Justin says, the big cut in the middle of the movie, I think both halves complement each other, especially on the second watches. You definitely see what the because the movie is really about family and loss and dealing with grief together, and what it means to be a family going through a terrible thing, and they just happens to take place with a very fucked up family who do very fucked up things, and all
that's any family though, right?
In the end, are all in the beginning and vice versa. So. Mm. I think it's probably Ari Aster's best film, in my opinion.
Okay.
Maybe the whole family aspect is the driving force behind both films, because I think George and I had very different upbringings, you know, and you know, maybe what he went through affects his viewing experience of Hereditary, and what I went through affects my experience with Midsommar.
Well, too, yeah. I just, like, I understood what they were trying to do with Midsommar, and I felt like they were trying to shoehorn some horror elements where it was unnecessary, and I just didn't care about the girl. I thought she was annoying from the get.
So he did. I'm looking him up.
And she had a very fucked up boyfriend, and so therefore she, you know.
The biggest problem I have with Hereditary is that once they do decide to go on that path for the storyline, and there's so many places where the movie could have moved forward at a much faster pace than it did. There's a lot of scenes with him walking through the house and the mom creeping around on the ceiling top and just like making noise, and it's all creepy.
It's only in one scene,
but it's a completely wasted scene. Like, there's no reason for that to be in there. It's just to add a jump scare, basically.
I mean, you can say the same thing about the beginning of Midsommar too.
Which scene?
Well, I don't want to spoil it in case someone watches it, but there's an opening scene that shows what the sister did, and
you're correct. It's
the exact same shock factor that the end of Hereditary had. It's just in opposite ends of each other.
So you're correct about that. Yes.
This director Ari Aster, he's only done two movies, and I would have sworn that Midsommar was his first movie. I didn't know that Hereditary. I didn't know it was the other way around.
So the problem is that he shot a short film, which was the basis for Hereditary, and it was a drama, and then it got picked up by A24, and he says, "Hey, I have this really good way to make it into like this horror-esque type film if you let me," because there were tidbits of it in his drama. He fleshed it out in the feature. Okay. And then he got a three-picture deal with A24 right after Hereditary came out, and he was pushed into shooting at a certain location in Midsommar, and he decided to start shooting Midsommar without a script. And that's why so much of Midsommar is just them hanging out in fields being high.
It's really not that much of it. It's only like 2.5 minutes.
It felt like an eternity when I watched it.
All right, we're moving on.
I enjoyed Midsommar. I thought it was a beautiful film. There's better versions of that movie out there. That's my opinion.
I just feel like everybody should watch both because
everyone should make up their own mind.
I would agree. They're both worth watching. I just know which one I enjoyed more.
Yeah. Everybody knows which one they enjoyed more. That's why they're both such polarizing films.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think Hereditary has a staying power of being a cult following of of a horror film to stay like in the future. Like I think one of those movies that people would want to watch again later in the future.
But I mean, so is Midsommar. Midsommar has a huge following. You can't deny that.
All right, guys, we're moving on.
Following, but it's hard to watch it over. I mean, for me personally, I don't really find it entertaining to watch that one again.
All right, we're moving on. All right, guys.
We hear you. All right.
The one that's closest to my memory, because I just finished watching it before we recorded, was Color Out of Space. That
Cage,
was a truly fucked up movie. Nick Cage being really Nick Cagey, especially that scene where he was freaking out about his peaches not being ripe. God damn it.
No, I think my favorite part is where he's like yelling alpacas for like.
Yes.
I think that was my favorite part.
It's alpacas. They're the future of meat or whatever he was saying.
Like, the future of farming, I think is what he said.
God, what a fucked up movie. It is a beautifully beautiful movie. And yeah. It's just beautifully weird, beautifully shot. Everything about it was really unnerving. The music was really good. There was a part in the melody of like some of the music that reminded me of some of the sad music from Terminator 2.
Yeah, it has a great soundtrack. I'll agree with you there.
Director Fum, do y'all know? He was like a director who used to be pretty famous in the 80s or something like that, and then he like disappeared.
He got like blacklisted by a bunch of studios because he wouldn't do what they wanted him to do, or he like went way over budget and then wouldn't make changes and cuts and stuff. So there was some movie he was working on, whatever his last one was before.
It was the end of Dr. Monroe was the last movie he made that like basically put him on everyone's shit list.
Yeah.
Why? Because it was that bad or?
No, yeah, it was supposedly cool. supposedly it's not that bad of a movie, but
he was replaced as the director.
Yeah. The way he dealt with the studios, they hated and they blacklisted him in Hollywood. So he didn't make movies for years and years, but he'd always wanted to do Lovecraft films. And once he basically got Nick Cage of star power behind it, he was able to make it happen. So
produced by Elijah Wood too.
I'm so glad I got to see this in the theaters. Like I've seen it a couple times on the small screen too, and it's still very good, but it's a true unique experience watching it in IMAX. Cause all the music and the colors and stuff are just so intense.
I was the whole movie. You're just on edge. Is just the tension of the music and the weird shit going on in the movie and the colors and everything. And I got to say, I love seeing Tommy Chong in this movie.
Yeah, he was great.
Phenomenal.
It's probably the most Lovecraftian movie ever made, and not just because it's a Lovecraft story, but the way they did everything feels very cosmic horror-y. Yeah.
And some of the creature design and stuff, I'm not trying to spoil anything if people haven't seen it. Some of the creatures, at some point, it was very much like John Carpenter's The Thing.
It has the same kind of vibe to it, but it's completely different.
Well, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, they're both great.
John Carpenter's The Thing is a very Lovecraftian story in its own right.
It is, so, for sure. The alpacas, oh, Jesus Christ. And he was just like,
He's making another Lovecraft movie. Do y'all know which one it was?
He's doing what's it called? The Innsmouth one. He's doing Dunwich Horror. Dunwich Horror is the next one. Yeah. The third one's supposed to be the Innsmouth one.
He's doing a trilogy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you ever see the old Dunwich Horror movie?
No. I have not.
Okay. It's not good.
We have like a sprinkles of the Dunwich Horror story in our comic.
Yeah.
No, oh, do you?
Yeah.
I'm gonna admit it right here, and I'm sure you guys know. I don't know a lot about Lovecraft and his writings. I've never really read anything, so if you guys could give me a start, I could, you know, I want to catch up. But
his short stories are probably the best, and they're probably the most accessible.
Which ones?
His short stories.
Is it like a collected in a book or?
Yeah,
I actually have two copies of the complete works of Lovecraft, so I'll give you one, Carrie.
Okay.
And you can just read them at your leisure. There's a lot of really good stuff. There's a lot of like not so great stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta also remember he's like super racist, and it kind of comes off in his writings.
Well, it was the early 20s, wasn't it?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Were you gonna say, Dave? You're about to say something?
Oh, I was just gonna say that. Yeah, you're probably better off at least to start sticking with some of the shorter length stories.
Okay.
A lot of the longer ones and the novellas. Are pretty dense.
Okay.
I did enjoy At the Mountains of Madness. That one is a longer one that I feel like is done well enough that it's not a complete slog. Call of Cthulhu is actually a slog. Yeah. It's the iconic story, but it's not really one of his best stories.
Well, if you have modern phones now and you have caller ID on your phones, you know, just don't answer it. When he calls.
Shouldn't.
When Cthulhu calls, don't answer.
But I'm...
So the only thing I'll admit, the only thing when I think of H.P. Lovecraft, I've always think of only, you know, Cthulhu and those type of demon monsters. I don't know much else about his horror stuff. So
he has a lot of other stuff besides just horror. He does like time travel stuff, and he does a lot of stuff that like fucks with people's minds. They're not sure what they've seen.
Yeah.
He used to primarily write for different magazines that put out weekly and monthly stories.
Sure.
And they were usually short stories of science fiction or horror or things along those lines. And so most of the collected works are like this mishmash of all these different types of stories he submitted to all these different publications that were all looking for different things. And quite a lot of the time they did require a certain word count, or they paid by the word count. So like Dave was saying earlier, you can tell. But at the core, there's so many like ideas that have just been built upon over time. And you've seen, you know, the culmination of in a lot of other horror movies, which is so cool. I mean, it's cool to see the roots of where modern horror is now.
So I mentioned this before we started recording, but
everyone's writing.
I mentioned this before we started recording, and I think it's worth repeating here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a discovery of mine that's been recent. If you're a Lovecraft fan and you don't know the works of Clark Ashton Smith, you should go check them out. That's a name that I've seen in a lot of my Lovecraft adjacent material, but I've only recently started checking out Clark Ashton Smith's work. He was a contemporary of Lovecraft and was in all of like the Weird Tales magazines and all that kind of stuff. So he dealt with a lot of similar kinds of stories, weird occult stories and things from outer space and undead things. And it's always in that weird fiction style that Lovecraft is known for, but he's a better writer than Lovecraft was. So his prose is, while still wordy, he still had that word count thing. You can tell that sometimes, but he tended to make better use of it, in my opinion, than Lovecraft did. So check out Clark Ashton Smith if you have not and you're a Lovecraft fan.
Cool.
I can't speak to how racist or not racist he was.
All right. So moving on from that, the next film I saw on my list was called Crawl, about the giant alligators in the house.
Yeah, fun movie.
It was fun. I mean,
Jaws with crocodiles.
Yeah, it's Jaws
exactly.
House with crocodiles.
I think they got it right. I mean, it was everything. It was what I expected it to be. So it was fun.
Yeah, it's nothing too off the beaten path, but it's a very fun, straightforward horror movie.
Next on my list, I watched Cooties the other day.
Love that movie.
I gave this movie a B+, almost an A.
It would have been A if not for the chicken nugget.
No, that wasn't the bad part, which is weird. I was watching this movie and it feels like I've seen part of it before, but I couldn't Like, I've seen maybe parts of it a little bit. I just don't remember, but it had a great cast. Rainn Wilson as a badass was pretty cool. Besides Super and all that, but I liked this movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was directed by a guy named Carey, so one of the guys directing it wasn't spelled the same way. So you got to love that. It was pretty funny movie.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a one I revisit at least once a year.
Is it?
But yeah, the chicken nugget scene, I don't know. Like, it's one of the few scenes in all of horror that actually turns my stomach a little bit.
The making of the chicken nuggets?
No, when the girl bites into it.
Oh, yeah, really?
It's so disgusting. When all that ooze comes out of it, it's just like,
oh, that's not that bad, bro.
Well, I've eaten more chicken nuggets than you, I guess.
I guess so. Okay, looking on Wikipedia, for some reason, one of the executive producers of this movie was Hayden Christensen.
That's weird.
That's cool.
All right.
Got to do something.
Apparently.
Hey, man, don't hate on Darth Vader. He likes horror movies, too.
I guess so. He was in Star Wars, so. It was a good combination of comedy and horror. Like, there were sort of, I guess there were zombies in a way, but yeah, they're
raged out kids.
Raged out kids that were hungry to eat flesh.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like the movie The Crazies, but with kids.
Yeah. It definitely had a Dawn of the Dead feeling to this movie, you know?
Really hope that someday they get the guts to make a sequel where it's like 10 years in the future or something.
That'd be awesome.
They left it open for a sequel, so.
I would love that.
All right, so next on my list, I watched Horns.
Horns.
Yep. Horns is fun.
It was
Radcliffe, right?
Yes, yeah, Daniel Radcliffe. I didn't hate this movie, didn't love it. I gave it a B.
You didn't hate it, but you didn't love it, and you still gave it a high rating?
B's not the high of a rating for me.
Oh, wow. Your version of high rating and mine are way
different. I guess so. I mean,
being like anything above a C is pretty high. Like, C is middle of the road, D is like bad.
It just, there was definitely parts in this movie that were very slow, and I didn't really like the whole twist to it. Sort of, it was like, okay. Have you seen this, Dave? Have you seen Horns?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's written by Stephen King's son.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Max Brooks?
Yeah.
Or no, what's his name? Joe Hill. Joe Hill.
Yeah.
Max Brooks is Mel Brooks' son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoy Horns.
I think Horns is a great... I think what makes it great is that at its core, it's really about a dude coming to terms about losing the woman that he loves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really what the whole gist of the movie's about.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a little too artsy in some places, but
that's my definition of slow, I guess.
Yeah. I can understand what you're saying about slowness. It is slow in some places, but overall, I think it's a great story and it's compelling, and Daniel Radcliffe does a great job, and it's a fun watch. I watch it probably once every couple of years.
Mm. Next on my list, thanks to Bill Longa, he was Movies Anywhere. You can loan movies to people. I don't know you could do this now, but he loaned me a copy of Krampus to watch, and I watched that yesterday.
That's fun.
Try to get into the holiday mood a little bit too, but I liked it. I gave it an A. I thought it was a fun movie. I like some of the people in it. I like Adam Scott a lot. David Koechner, he's always fucking funny.
See, I love the cast of that movie, and that's why I went in with very high expectations, and it did not even come close to meeting my expectations. So it's like a C+ movie for me.
Mm.
I liked it. I just didn't think they went far enough with it.
Yeah, they could have done so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good entry horror movie for kids who are trying to get into horror movies.
I can see that for sure.
If it was presented as a like kid-friendly horror movie, my feelings on it would probably be different. But it was not presented as that, and I expected a lot more from it.
Is this something? Have you seen this, Dave?
Nope.
The same could be said for the new remake of The Witches.
I haven't seen that.
watch that yet?
I watched it. It's okay at best.
Okay. Can I admit something?
You've seen the old one.
Right? I've never seen it. I never even knew about it.
Rocks. The old one's creepy as shit. This one's just.
It's not, though. Have you watched it recently?
I watched it tonight. Again, I mean, when I first saw The Witches, I was a little kid. And it is creepy. It's creepy in places when they take off the mask and they transform for the first time.
What year did it come out?
Oh, it was in like the early 90s. It was like 1990, maybe. I might have been 8 or 9 years old. It's well done. The new one, though?
90.
Like, the first one, I feel like anybody could watch it regardless of their age, and they can enjoy it. It's a little cheesy in some places, yes, but there are some cool elements, and, like, the story is way more cohesive, and it's just, it's very fun. The new one is just very monotonous all the way through, and everything's CGI'd, and half of it looks like crap, and you don't really care about any of the characters. The witches are not scary, they're annoying, especially the voice that she does the whole time. It's so over the top.
She can't do voices, that's why.
It's terrible. Like, she's a terrible choice for the lead witch.
Besides the new one, which I do want to see because it's on HBO Max, right?
Yeah.
How come I've never seen the original The Witches or really know much about it at all?
I don't know, man. But you should watch it. It's a classic.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's a Roald Dahl story.
Yeah.
About the new one is that there's some cool ideas that just weren't fleshed out.
Yeah.
And those cool ideas kind of, because if you look at the credits, Guillermo del Toro was a producer and writer. I kind of wish this movie was directed by him because I think it would have looked a lot fucking cooler.
I agree. I 100% agree. I was shocked to see his name come up because I was like, it can't be this bad since del Toro was involved. But you're right. There were some interesting thoughts and differences from this one and the original. And I wish I would have kind of explored those a little bit more. But honestly, this one feels like it's extremely geared towards kids. Like, it's extremely friendly. It should be rated G, whereas the original probably should be closer to PG-13.
Am I thinking of a different movie? Like, I don't think the original is that, like, out there or like that. I mean, it's okay, but
yeah,
well, I don't think it's particularly scary at any point. It's, to me, it's completely kid friendly, like, straight through.
Well, I just watched it with my 11-year-old, and when they started transforming, he was like, "Oh no!" Like, he was like taken aback by it. And I mean,
my
kids
are like completely unfazed by that.
Well, I remember my reaction when I first saw it too, and I remember having an impact on me too because that was the only reason I remember the movie.
Is it streaming somewhere, Justin? The original?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay, so that would be interesting. I mean, it's produced by Jim Henson and the Jim Henson Productions and. You know, it's a Roald Dahl story. Like,
some really cool creature effects in there.
Yeah, it's all animatronics and stuff. It's great.
That's cool. I'm down for that.
But the new one, it's all shitty CGI. Really poorly done. Really poorly done CGI.
Really cool moments with the CGI. Like, early in the movie, they show, like, the witch's teeth and stuff like that. Like, when she's, like, concealed in fog. And I was like, oh, shit, that looks kind of creepy. I hope they do more of that. And they never do.
Alrighty. Going back real quick to Krampus, I enjoyed it. I knew it was going to be a Christmas-based horror movie, and I enjoyed it for what it was. Moving on, Trick or Treat. I watched this yesterday. I understood what the movie was. I knew it was a sort of an anthology-style movie.
It's a love letter to Halloween, man.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. I enjoyed it. I like how there's different stories and they all sort of interplayed and they went back in time in a few places to see what was going on with the other people. But some of the I didn't enjoy the gaggle of girls scene. That was sort of meh.
Have you ever seen Ginger Snaps, Carrie?
No.
Oh, okay.
I seen him in the store, but
never mind.
Okay.
It's a werewolf movie about teenage girls.
No, never seen that. Never even heard of it, truthfully. Being truthful.
Okay. It's kind of regarded as one of the better werewolf movies.
I think Trick or Treat did a better werewolf story in that 30-minute block than Ginger Snaps, and I really like Ginger Snaps.
Yeah, I agree with you.
No, go on, Carrie.
Hold on a second. All right. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought the main character, the Sam character, would be in it more. But I don't know. I expected him to be like the main killer of the movie, but he was only in it for just like a brief, you know, minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool though. I think it's something I would watch, you know, every year though.
Yeah, it's a good Halloween movie.
I didn't hate it, but it wasn't my favorite, you know.
Yeah.
It's not as a horror movie, a great horror movie, but it's a great Halloween movie.
It's a great homage movie.
I like to play it in the background, like when I'm getting ready for Halloween or decorating the house, and then I could stop and watch certain scenes. I'm like, oh yeah, that's fucking awesome. Like the scene where they're like walking down Main Street and everything is decorated Halloween-y, or when start to notice that the bodies hanging in the front yard are real bodies. I think that's just fucking awesome.
Yeah. I know I've interviewed one of the guys in that movie. He was in it at the beginning, the husband, Tamo Pennicott. He interviewed him at Common Plaza years ago, and I didn't really know anything about him. But I just got thrown into an interview. I'm like, hey, I know I've seen you in one thing. Let's talk about that. The next movie on my list
I saw you in a Geico commercial 5 years
ago. Yeah, right?
Let's talk about that.
Can you save me 15% of my car insurance? The next movie on my list was Green Room.
Oh, yeah, I love Green Room.
I like this movie. Was that
Is it Dave? A horror movie? I guess it is a horror. It has horror elements in it.
Yeah. I've been in clubs like that, so I know what clubs like that are in their green rooms and their back rooms. It's like that, really.
Yeah. You've been in Nazi regime?
Not specifically Nazi-run clubs, but I've been into enough clubs in the green rooms where I've interviewed bands back there, and it's like that. They never locked us in
But he's saying they're shitholes.
They're shitholes.
Yeah,
they are.
I've been to my fair share of shithole venues too. So
it was a good movie. I like Alia Shawkat. Is that her name? Because I had just finished watching Arrested Development like the week before I watched this movie. I'm like, oh, that's the girl. I'm like, okay, cool. So
yeah, she's pretty good in it.
You know, I think the movie is a testament to what a shame it is that we lost Anton Yelchin.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Dude.
Forgot about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was great. And I truthfully, they had Patrick Stewart in it, but they didn't really use him that much, you know?
But the scenes that they use him in are fucking.
Yeah, he's good.
Agreed.
Dude, and also that scene where Anton's arm is stuck in that door. God, it like makes me cringe just thinking about it.
There's a great alternative movie poster just with his arm like cut to shreds.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and then the fact that he just taped it together afterwards with duct tape.
It's punk rock.
Yeah, it was very punk rock. That's a punk rock horror movie. Thriller.
Yeah, that's an A24 movie as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah. They're putting out quality stuff for sure. Next on my list was It Follows.
Yeah.
That's another polarizing movie.
What do you think?
Dave hates it. I love it.
I think it is abysmally bad.
It's such an awesome movie. What makes it even more awesome that the weird details that they put in the movie that doesn't fucking make sense the more time you watch it.
That's probably what I didn't like about it.
I've seen that movie three times, and every time I watch it, I always find like this new weird detail that they never fucking explain, and it makes you think, all right, so what point in time does this movie even fucking take place?
Yeah, I love that movie, and I wanted to get a poster for it, and Erica told me no because she hates it so much. So
you should marry that girl. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I am.
I can see this is a very polarizing movie for me. There were certain scenes I liked of it, but overall I wasn't a big fan. It was just the premise was weird.
Is
it though?
Yeah. I mean, there's only one other horror movie I can think of back. I can't remember it was back in the day, but about a sex demon. But
It's not about... God damn it.
It's right, about whatever. A sex demon, dude.
Not about sex. It's about emotional baggage.
Yeah.
All right. Don't right. get all... It's about a sex demon.
I'm not joking. It's not about sex.
I mean, all horror movies are not about what they're about on the surface. I mean, on the surface, yes, sex monster chasing people that is transmitted to. It's basically a killer STD. But, you know, every horror movie is basically a metaphor for some kind of human experience.
Or personal problems.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why at the end of the... I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but we all seen it here. So spoiler alert coming up. That's why the girl at the end sees the it monster as her dad, because she has emotional baggage about her dad dying.
Okay.
And obviously her dad did something fucked up to her and her family that she has a hard time coming to terms with.
I think that I wouldn't have hated the movie as much as I did if it wasn't so highly lauded on like every horror blog and everything. Like it was on like every like best of list and everything for a long time. So I was like, man, I guess I better check this movie out. And I didn't like it. And it was all of that hype made me not like it that much more.
I can see that.
That's why I try to watch movies the minute that I can. Like the instant they get released, I try to see them because, you know, people are going to have different opinions and stuff. And like, I've experienced that so many times too, where something is very highly lauded and then you watch it and it sucks. And you're like, I don't understand what all these people are talking about. And then if you have a contradictory opinion, you know, they lash out at you.
I mean, it's okay, man. That's what makes art art, right? It's all subjective. And
that's very true.
That's what makes it fun is people's different opinions.
Alrighty. So the next four movies on my list were movies that I put on here that I chose as I was, either browsing around or wanted to watch. The first one, it was a Hubie Halloween.
Oh God. Terrible.
I thought it was great. I knew George was going to hate it.
I hated every fucking second I watched that movie.
That is not a for you movie, George. It's a for me movie.
You're absolutely right. Everything about that movie was just stupid. Just fucking stupid.
But shot really well.
It looks all the same, Harry. It looks all the fucking same. Like every.
I knew that was going to get you.
Netflix movie.
So
he's just pushing buttons.
I am an old school Adam Sandler fan.
Me too. I liked him when he was funny. He just stopped being funny 20 years ago.
Yeah, this is the closest to funny he's come in 20 years. George is right. But honestly, like, this is the best thing he's put out comedy wise in a really long time. Like he makes so many nods to his previous characters that were funny. There's a lot of good cameos in there. There's a lot of really funny lines that are you just weren't expecting. Plus, it feels like a Halloween movie, which is hard to pull off. For
and it's a kid-friendly Halloween movie enough.
It's close enough. Yeah, it's no more adult than like Hocus Pocus or something like that. It's kind of in the same vein. I thought it was fun. It's not perfect. It's not an A-plus movie or anything. It's not something you're going to watch every year, but it feels like a Halloween movie that has Billy Madison in it or something.
The Water Boy.
It has parts of the Water Boy. It has parts of
character rolled into one person.
Yeah, it was all of his characters mixed together.
Oh, Adam Sandler.
Yeah. I never said Adam Sandler can create new characters. When he plays that stupid childlike character, it's all the same, you know, no matter what movie it is. But
I mean, I don't know about you, but I laughed so fucking hard when Rob Schneider showed up. Like, that was the best part of the movie for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know you're talking about the serial killer.
Stupid scene with Shaq. What the fuck?
That was funny, dude. What are you talking about?
Was it though?
Yes, it was though.
It was not funny. Your funny bone's broken.
I think mine's perfectly working fine.
I think
yours is broken. It has
elevated taste. I think
you're getting old and jaded.
The gag with Shaq was probably the lowest bar in the movie.
Yeah,
I'll agree with that. But everything else, all the stuff with the community and how far he goes with the decorations and how they treat him and all that, like everything just felt funny to me, except I'll agree with George that the Shaft stuff was kind of unnecessary and a low bar for a film that already kind of set a low bar for itself.
And what the fuck was that dude do? The fat guy. Fucking with the mullet. Why?
For Kevin James?
Yes. Why? Does that make sense? No.
What?
None of this fucking.
He was stuck in the 80s, dude. He was stuck being a high school. He was a popular kid in high school. He's stuck in that era, and that's what he was doing.
I mean, you've seen so many movies with, like, you know, the jock grows up to become a cop.
Yeah.
It's a small town, and he's like a big fish in a small pond kind of thing. That's all it was. It wasn't anything groundbreaking with him.
No. It was terrible. That's what it was.
Well, agree to disagree. It wasn't terrible. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. If you're an Adam Sandler fan at all, you will enjoy it.
I want to talk to those people. I want to see who are fans of current Adam Sandler.
I mean, nobody is
mentally wrong with them.
If you're still a fan of Adam Sandler's comedy over the last 20 years, there is something mentally wrong with you, because everything he's put out has been shit. Mm. But like his dramatic roles have been pretty good. Like, he was great in Uncut Gems and stuff. You can see he has some chops, but like, this is the first comedy he's put out in a long, long time that I felt like was traditional Adam Sandler.
What was the one before this that was good?
Big Daddy.
That was 99?
51st Dates.
Dates. Yeah, 51st Dates was the last good thing.
51st Dates was actually charming and sweet and had some moments.
But that was a lot because of Drew Barrymore, not necessarily because of Adam Sandler.
Yes,
but what about the one he played his sister? I mean, come on.
No, that movie was horrible.
I'm joking on that one.
Wasn't that a South Park joke that became real?
Probably.
Probably so. That was so bad.
And then Al Pacino's trying to flirt with her. Okay. That's a horror movie right there.
Yeah, anyway.
No kidding.
I'm sorry you watched Hubie Halloween.
I'm sorry you did too.
I'm very sorry I did. But it was my wife's choice, so
there. What did Catherine think? Did Catherine enjoy it?
She hated it. Thank God, too.
You're made for each other. Then
it's gonna be over.
Married anymore?
It's gonna be all over.
She liked it. I would have to question our marriage, and it's coming up on our anniversary. And I'd be like, "Babe, you like that QB Halloween movie? I don't know what to tell you."
Is our friendship over now, dude? I'm sorry.
What choice do I have?
It's okay, Carrie. You and I always had wide degrees of movies.
Okay. Moving on. I saw Vampires versus the Bronx. It was another Netflix movie.
I watched that too.
What did you say?
Fright Night in the Ghetto.
Yeah.
So I thought they were trying to do Fright Night meets Attack the Block.
Attack the Block. I got that too.
Out really strong until about halfway through the movie, and they realized, shit, we got to finish this fucking movie. And they just like fast forward through everything that was cool.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. It's like, only 86 minutes, so I mean,
they had like a great build up, and then they were like, all right, fuck everything else. Fast forward to the end.
Pretty much right after the scene where he's riding his bike away from the gangster guy. Like, that was the last scene that was really good in that movie. When they go into that underpass or whatever, and then the vampire gets the chubby gangster.
Yeah.
I thought the last scene that I thought was really good is when they went to the realtor place to ask for money. And I thought, like, oh, shit, this is getting good. The kids are putting themselves in peril here and shit. And then after that, the movie just kind of, like, took a big nosedive.
Yeah. You know, it's produced by Lorne Michaels, right?
The TV guy?
Yeah, from SNL. It's a Broadway video production.
Well, that explains why it was filmed in the Bronx.
I guess. Maybe that's put in the title, too. They had to.
I'm sure.
I like Shea Whigham. I think he's a great character actor, and he was great in this, too. The vampire sort of like work guy, made him do everything. But I can't think of the title that they give him.
Their assistant guy. Familiar?
The what?
The familiar?
Yeah, there you go. Familiar. Thank you. Moving on from there, I know this is something that Justin fucking hated. It was Fantasy Island.
Yeah, it was terrible.
The plane, boss, the plane.
The entire movie exists solely so they can make a tattoo joke, which the joke was funny, but like the hour and 40 minutes I sat through to get to the joke was not
worth it. It was a weird, first of all, it's a weird concept by taking an old TV series like that and making it into, I don't want to call this a horror movie, because there is horror elements of it, but it was more of a weird thriller type of, they're trying to go for that feeling. I didn't hate it as much as you did. It was okay. That's all I got to say.
It's not worth watching.
I'm just waiting for the sequel when it's Gilligan's Island, and they turn that into a horror movie.
I would absolutely watch a Gilligan's Island horror movie. I think that would be amazing. Really fun. Yeah.
Instead of a horror movie, though, it needs to be a survival movie.
Gilligan goes crazy in the middle of the night, has a nightmare, and starts killing everybody.
The movie picks up right when they crash. That's where the movie needs to happen, when they crash land on the island.
And so Marianne mixes some berries that make everybody go fucking nuts into their food, and then all of them eat it except for Gilligan, and they all turn into bloodthirsty cannibals, and he's the only one who's not. He's trying to survive. There's so many cool things you could do with that story.
Opposite way, dude. I think Gilligan should be the killer.
He's the one cannibal.
He's the one guy who goes crazy and he tries to kill everybody.
It would explain why he's so goddamn skinny.
That's right. He never gets to eat.
There's a lot of ways you could play a Gilligan's Island horror movie.
I think we should make this. I think we should just make a parody trailer.
I mean, if they can get the rights to Fantasy Island, we got to get the rights to Gilligan's, right?
Speaking of,
I watched when I was flipping through Tubi or one of these channels the other night when I was looking for movies. I saw they have Return to Gilligan's Island. Let me watch the first 10 minutes of this. God, those were bad. It was the 80s movie where they return to the island. Everybody's older and shit. Nobody cared. They used in there for the paycheck. That was a bad movie.
Wasn't it they finally get rescued and then they went back to civilization and they didn't like it. So they go back.
I think you might be right, man. I didn't finish watching it. I might just to bring back some memories.
Inspiration for Lost season 4.
Yes.
Hey, spoiler alert. Yeah.
No, Lost season 4. That was all flashbacks, air quotes.
No, flash forwards. Sorry,
flash forwards. That's right. The other movie that I saw that wasn't
a Lost fanboy here.
What's that?
I'm talking to a Lost fanboy here.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's a series I actually did finish. Too bad they didn't. Oh.
They did finish it. It had 6 seasons.
Were there an ending?
It was great until the ending. You're right, Gary.
All right. I watched The Voices. I really liked that movie. Have you seen that? The Voices with Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, yeah. The serial killer one.
Yes.
Yeah. I really liked it. I just thought it overstayed its welcome. It was a little too long.
I could see that. Yeah.
But the dynamic between the cat and the dog was just fucking great.
And the once the decapitated heads came to life and started talking to him, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jesus, Gemma Arterton, amazing.
I think that's one of the few Ryan Reynolds movies that doesn't get a lot of love.
It doesn't. I never heard about it. When I was flipping through the horror channels thing, I was like, oh, what is this? I've never heard about this.
It's old too, if I remember correctly. It came out a while ago.
2014, something like that. 2014. It was one of these Sundance darling type movies, you know? It's him and Anna Kendrick's in it as well. Man, we watched this Anna Kendrick movie when we were on vacation. It was on HBO. It was her and John Daly or something. He used to be in Bones and he was Freaks and Geeks and stuff. And then they were in a post-apocalyptic world and there was the devil and it was just a weird fucking movie.
Rapture Palooza.
That's what it was.
Yeah. That movie was not that good.
It's not horrible. I actually enjoyed it for what it was, but
it was a pale imitation of This Is the End.
Yeah. I could see that. It was interesting. I don't hate Anna Kendrick, but I don't like her for the movies she's known for, you know? I've never seen Pitch Perfect or anything like that. So, that's the truth. So there's still a lot of movies on this list I want to get to. I know next I want to watch Monster Squad, which I have here. I'm going to be watching Reanimator. I'm excited to watch Three from Hell because I've never seen the sequel.
Oh, dude,
it's stop! I know it is.
You don't understand. I love House of a Thousand Corpses, and I love Devil's Rejects.
Yeah, me too.
Three from Hell, it's about an hour and 40 minutes too long. He could tell the entire story in about 35 minutes. The beginning's great when Sid Haig's still in it.
Yeah.
But man, the movie sucks. It's such a major letdown. I was so disappointed in it because I wanted so much more.
And I do want to yeah, go ahead.
House of Corpse yet?
What's up?
Have you seen House of a Thousand Corpses?
Oh yeah, I love the first two movies.
So I watched House of a Thousand Corpses recently. I haven't seen it since it's been out in theaters.
Yeah.
Man, that movie's way weirder and slower than I remember.
It is.
It's a very strange movie.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
It was like Rob Zombie
doesn't fucking make sense.
Rob Zombie was doing a music video horror movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie is not the best director.
Now, I think that The Devil's Rejects is like a proper good movie.
Yes.
It's a very good movie. House of Thousand Corpses was made.
The problem with that, it's way better than all his other things that he's done.
Absolutely. House of a Thousand Corpses was made when Zombie didn't know he was going to be able to continue making horror movies. He wrote the script for that. He was like, I just want to put everything I love into this one film. I'm going to shove it in there with however I can make it, add a really cool soundtrack, and just make a horror movie. So he just added a bunch of random weird shit.
Well, and he got like, the project got started and canned multiple times before he was finally able to do it.
Yeah.
And so
it also explains why he had to shoot scenes in his basement. So like all those torture scenes are shot in his actual basement of his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like the stars had to come over and hang out. He didn't have camera equipment, so that's why it's shot in like so many various multimedia.
I do like his remake of Halloween.
What?
Yeah.
I actually don't mind it. I think it's fine.
It's different, mm-hmm. And he wasn't trying to recreate what was already done.
It's okay. I don't hate it.
It has a dude from the Monkees in it. Come on, shut up.
Lords of Salem was kind of disappointing.
I haven't seen Lords of Salem or 31 yet.
Oh, 31. Man. 31's not great.
I might have seen Lords of Salem. I don't remember it. 31 I haven't seen.
Lords of Salem was a great premise, and like he really could have made it like a masterpiece horror movie there, but it just sort of fell apart at the end completely. Really, don't bother with Three from Hell. I'm telling you, it'll taint your opinion of the entire trilogy.
Don't say that. All right.
You're not going to like it.
That, and definitely next on my list is The Witch. Sorry, The Vivitch. That's definitely, definitely one of my next watches. So I've gotten through quite a bit, I think. There's still a little bit more to go. I appreciate
my favorite new movie, Carrie.
What's that? Possessor?
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary. I don't even have that on my list, man.
Dude, put it on there. I texted it to you.
Yes. That's right, you did. It's a comedy horror, right?
Yeah, it has fucking what's-his-face from Last Man on Earth.
Oh, I did watch the trailer for that. Okay, yeah. I do want to see that.
I saw two movies this week, which are worth mentioning. I saw Save Yourself, which is about a couple that's addicted to their phones and technology and stuff. And so they decide to go on a retreat to the mountains. They have this friend that has a cabin out there. So they go out into isolation.
That's what George is doing this week.
It's exactly what George is getting ready to do. And while they're on vacation, aliens invade the Earth, and they have no idea it's happening because they don't have their cell phones on. They're not looking at Facebook. They're not watching TV. And they don't realize anything's going on until weird things start happening at the cabin they're at. It does sort of fall apart at the end a little bit, but it's such a fun ride through most of the movie that it's worth watching. Definitely one worth checking out. And then the other one I watched was The Wolf of Snow Hollow, which is hilarious pretty much from start to end.
Is that good? I wanted to watch that. It had the Jim Cummings' new film.
Yeah. I mean, the story is kind of predictable and very basic and simple, but all the actors are phenomenal. And just listening to him on a power trip just screaming at everybody throughout most of the movie makes it worth watching because it's very, very funny.
Right on. Sounds fun. All right,
it's a fun movie.
Let's move on to our George Hates Metal section, and we do have some metal releases to talk about. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
that was White Stones for George Hates Metal, a band I just recently discovered a couple days ago, thanks to our buddy Maurice from Blues Funeral. Before I give you any background or any information about the band, George.
Yes.
Did you hate this or love this? Or were you in between?
I kind of hated it. It's not for me.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Why so?
I don't like the dude's vocals. It's a little too droney for me. It started out okay, but then it just kind of got boring halfway through the song.
All right. Dave, did you get to hear any of it a little bit?
This was the first that I've listened to it. It's on my list to check out because I know who it is.
Okay.
But that was the first I listened to it. Sounds promising. I'm looking forward to hear more.
Yeah. And Justin, did you get to hear it at all?
I came in towards the latter half of it.
Yep.
Had to make a quick bathroom break, but I really enjoyed the music. The vocals were a bit strange, but I'm not sure if that was because I was listening to it over your microphone.
No, you weren't. The vocals in this on this album are a little bit more. I would compare him to one of the vocalists from Enslaved. I don't remember which one is like that the lower gargly one.
Yeah, I heard gargling and stuff.
So,
which, you know, that doesn't really bother me, but I added it to my list, so I'll listen to the whole album later.
So this band is the brainchild of Martin Mendez, the bass player from Opeth. So
That's like a guaranteed I'm going to check it out kind of situation.
It definitely has
You can tell that this is spearheaded by a bass player.
You definitely can. It's definitely
not an insult. Not an insult. It was good, but the bass is very prominent in both the mix and in the composition.
Yes, and it's definitely an Opacian in direction and style, but totally different vocal than what they're doing now. I don't like this vocalist as much as Michael Lagerfeld or anything like that, but. You also have lineup. You also have Fredrik Axelsson. I can never say his name right. And Per Eriksson on guitars as well. So you have other members of Opeth.
Okay.
Putting their leads and stuff on here. So I like this album.
Wait, Per Eriksson?
Right.
Isn't he?
Bloodbass. That's right.
Okay.
Bloodbass and Catatonia.
And Catatonia, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Opeth had a pair in the band, but it wasn't
He was
that,
a keyboardist, that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was their keyboardist for a while.
Yeah, Per Nilsson, I think his name was?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think so. One way to find out, and that's the internet, but I really like this album. It definitely flew under my radar because it came out in March and had no idea that he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really sort of his, I guess it's really his solo album in a way, you know? But I guess he, but he's been in the band since, what, 99? Been in there for a while, so.
Who, Mendez?
Yeah.
At least 99, if not longer.
I think he started on Still Life.
Okay, yeah, then that's right then.
We were talking about that on the last MSR cast of there's a list of bands who have no original members left, and Opeth is one of them.
That almost doesn't count, though.
I know.
Really. Because, I mean, yes, Akerfeldt was not a founding, he wasn't the founder of the band.
But he took over very quickly.
He took over so quickly, he might as well have been. And it's his band, for all intents and purposes.
No. I agree. And I think Napalm Death was another one on there, too. But okay. I'm sorry you didn't like this, George. I'll try better next time.
You better.
I will. Damn it. I try to pick stuff that I think you might be interested in. I know you wouldn't really dig the vocals that much, but I thought you might like the composition and the music.
I mean, it sounded all right when it first started. Like I said, it just kind of got too droney and boring.
Okay. Fine.
There's that.
Fine, damn it. Don't agree with me. I don't care anymore. let's do what if we've been listening to anything recently of what's been. We're gonna do a quick geek tickle and then let's wrap it up because I'm ready to go to bed.
All right, yeah, sounds good.
George, let's start with you. Have you been listening to anything recently? And don't say Run the Jewels.
Okay.
Is that what you've been listening to?
Well, yeah, because they had a new concert recently, and I watched the concert like 3 times.
No, wow.
It was great. What else did I listen to? I listened to the new Tombs single. I thought that was pretty good.
I like Tombs. They're pretty good.
Didn't they put out a full-length album, like, just a couple months ago?
Yeah, they did that earlier this year.
I don't know if it's a full album that they put out recently, but it's a single that I have.
But The Hunger?
They're pretty good. I enjoyed the last 2 albums they did.
I also have been listening a lot to Michael Giacchino's new, his first, like, release that wasn't a movie score.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it's called, I think it's called Side something, Side Reel is what it's called. And it's pretty good. I like it a lot. It has like a jazzy feel to it if you like that kind of thing. And then he also put out a new Lost Live album, and I've been listening to that a lot, which has caused me to do a rewatch, so I'm forcing my wife to do a rewatch of Lost right now.
No. Great. She lost?
No, she's not, because she has me to guide her.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just looking it up. Tombs put out an album in February, and since then they've released 3 new singles.
Yeah.
For a new upcoming album, which I have not checked out. I need to listen to these singles then.
They must be cool. Busy during quarantine getting stuff done.
Seems like a lot of musicians are.
Yeah.
They're just bored is what it is. Let's just be fair.
Dave, have you been listening to anything new?
Not really. I've actually started trying to go back through and pick up some of the stuff that I've missed from earlier in the year. Mm. I was listening to the Immorium album the other day.
Memoriam?
Yeah.
A fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's good. I keep going back to that Garia album as well. It's good shit.
Yeah, it's my favorite album this year still.
Mine is still City Burials, still is my favorite. I felt like as soon as I heard it, it was probably going to stay at the top of my list for the year, and I still really like that one. But yeah, I haven't been up on any of the really, really current stuff. I've been trying to backtrack a bit.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with it all.
New Brimstone Coven album's out, and I care about that. I don't know if anybody else does.
The new Paul Bearer came out today, and it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like it a lot. Let's go with you, Justin. I know you have quite a few that you've been jizzing over.
Well, I listened to like 35 albums in the last 3 days. God
damn it, dude.
I started playing poker again, so that's all I've been doing.
I've listened to nothing but Devin Townsend and Hammerfall the past 2 days.
It's not so true. Anyways,
but it's sort of true.
My 4 favorite albums of the newest releases. number 1, the new Mors Principium Est.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big fan of theirs, have been for a long time. Their new album is called 7. I actually pre-ordered the vinyl version with the shirt, like their combo pack, hoping it was going to be a good album. And man, it's just as good as their last.
I've listened to it twice so far, and I actually looked for it in the store today and I had no idea what I was talking about.
I keep going back to it. Whenever I, you know, I'm listening to something that I don't like or whatever, it's a great palate cleanse, and it's one of my favorite albums this year for sure, because I think I'm going to keep listening to it till the end of the year. Definitely one people should check out. Of the newer stuff, though, two bands I'd never heard of before this week, and then one that I've liked some of their stuff in the past, Red Moon Architect.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, I've heard of them before.
I never heard them before this album, which is called... Emptiness Weighs the Most.
I've heard one or two tracks preview of it. It's definitely next on my listen list because I really like that band.
It's kind of a misleading album to listen to because the very first track is all like it's melodic death metal, but the first track is all very heavy growling guttural vocals.
Second track.
The second track is like this beautiful melodic woman's voice,
yeah,
singing everything with the vocal, with the guttural stuff. Like,
they're very comparable to Draconian.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see that. But it kind of threw me for a loop because I was like, this can't be the same band. What happened? And I went and looked and I was like, no, same band. And they kind of do that throughout the album.
And they're very Finnish. If you like Amorphous and things like that, you will like this band.
But it's a great album. I'm looking forward to spending more time with it. The first listen through, I really enjoyed. I just got to listen to it a few more times, figure out how high up it ranks for me.
Speaking of, New Draconian comes out next week. So,
more stuff.
Yeah.
More stuff.
This last few months is going to be, this last few months is going to be hard. There's going to be some good stuff coming out.
So the next one is one that I think Dave would really enjoy. I mentioned him in our group chat. It's called Mork Grinning.
Yep. Not Mork from Mork.
Mork Grining.
You know, I used to think Mork Grinning was like one dude that used to be in a really obscure black metal band, but it's actually not. It's like the name of the band.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I looked him up to make sure that's what it was, so I wasn't. but the album's called Hensides Vrede. Obviously, they're not American.
Have you heard their original album? It was called Nanu Nanu?
No, I have not. Okay. That'd be amazing if that was true, though. but they're extremely...
stupid joke.
I know it was.
They're extremely well-polished melodic black metal.
Yes.
I was blown away.
They took like a 15-year break because they thought black metal couldn't go anywhere else, so they stopped, and they just came back this year.
And it's an album that really makes me believe they understand the genre, and they're doing all kinds of experimental and new things with the music that you don't really see in a lot of other bands, while still staying true to like what is black metal.
Mm-hmm.
I was just blown away by this album. It floored me the first time I listened to it, and I've gone back to it twice already. Not as much as Moore's, because Moore's is kind of a more fun background music sound, but this is a great album to pay attention to. And I'm definitely going to spend a lot more time with it. Cool. And like I said, Dave, you should check this one out. I think you'll dig this.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
And then the last one that I'm counting to my best of list so far, but I don't know where, Umbra Vitae. Their new album's called Shadow of Life.
I've never heard of them.
It's melodic death metal. I heard one of their previous albums, and it's like progressive melodic death metal.
What are they called? Umbre?
Umbra Vitae.
Okay.
Vitae. Their first album, or the first one I heard, rather, I liked it, but I didn't love it. It was like one of those albums that I was really on the fence on. I kept going back and listening to it because there were so many elements I liked. But it wasn't enough for me to say this is a great album. I should recommend this to people. This one, it seems like they've improved as musicians quite a bit. And it's much more well put together, if that makes sense. So I really enjoyed it. I've only gotten to listen to it one time so far. But I did add it to my best of for 2020 list so far. So cool. I'll have to spend more time with that as well.
Awesome. I have a couple that I want to talk about. One is a band that I discovered last week or the week before called Tomorrow's Rain. This is one of those, we talked about this on the last MSR cast, this is one of those bands that has one of the worst possible names, but one of the best bands I've discovered this year. They are a gothic death doom band from Israel, actually. They're from Tel Aviv. This is their first full length. There's two versions of it. There's one in English that has a bunch of guest vocalists, and I'll get to that, and guest musicians. But they also have a secondary version that's all sung in Hebrew, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
So they have everybody from Aaron Stainthorpe from My Dying Bride, Gregor McIntosh from Paradise Lost plays guitars. Kobe Farhi from one of my favorite Israeli bands, Orphanland, does a lot on here, actually. Fernando from Moonspell's on here. Miko from Swallow the Sun. Jeff Loomis plays a part on here. The singer from Septic Flesh is on here. There's just so many great musicians on this album.
What's the name of the act again?
Tomorrow's Rain.
Okay.
It's a very forgettable name. It really is. I'm sorry, but it's a phenomenal album.
Like rain, like it's raining outside.
Yes. When if you Google this title, the band name, the first thing you're going to get if it's raining in your city tomorrow.
Honestly, tomorrow's rain, like taking control and ruling over the people, would have been a much better name.
Yes, agree, right?
That's what I would. That's what I guessed it
but
was.
But it's rain, like.
And I went, it's probably not that cool.
It's precipitation. I think it's a really, really great album. I think, Dave, I think you would really dig this because it's very early, you know, like 90s. Or mid 90s, like Death Doom, like Moonspell, and the
it's got a lot of there's a lot of pedigree names in that.
There really is. So if you like old Paradise Lost and anything around the you know when they were doing more Death Doom stuff, I think you would dig this band. But the production of it's really good. It definitely gives me a Swallow the Sun vibe a lot of times. Mixed with those old, you know, those old bands. So really digging that. I'm also digging the new album from Benediction.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I didn't put it in my best of list, but it's in my need to listen to more to decide list. Yeah.
If you don't know much about Benediction, they've been around for a long time. This was Barney from Napalm Death's original band. This was the band he started out in. So I think anybody into like really well-written melodic death metal, not melodic, like, you know, like a Finnish melodic death metal, but death metal with a lot of melody in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because there are two different things. I have been listening to the new Hammerfall live album, Live Against the World, and the new Devin Townsend, Order of Magnitude, which I pre-ordered from Century Media just because I didn't want to pay the European shipping, and now that's been pushed back till November for shipment for some reason. Don't know why, but they do a weird-ass cover of Disco Inferno for some reason.
Weird.
Yes. But Dave, it's just like the show that we saw. It's that whole lineup right there.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah, so the Mors Principium Est has also been on my list majorly. I think that's about it right now. Those are ones that have really been.
I do want to mention one more then. Sean actually turned Carrie and I onto these guys when we did MSR Cast last time, Well of Night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you'd really like them as well, Dave. They're mellow black and death. They're really, really good. I mean, Sean's not even a big black metal guy. You know, he's super into power metal. But he was really impressed with them, and then I was kind of bummed that he discovered them first. But yeah, they're great.
Oh, okay. The one other band that I do want to mention, I know Justin's not going to possibly agree with me, is Armored Saint. I freaking love the new Armored Saint album. You don't have to say anything.
Now's not the time to play it, Gary.
Oh, I wanted to play it again. So good. The album's called Punching the Sky. I think it's their best album since like Symbol of Salvation. They are in top form on this album. I got the promo like 2 or 3 weeks ago and I haven't stopped listening to it. I did the, they did like a live stream last weekend. So if you pre-ordered the live stream and for another $20, you got the new CD autographed by the band. So I did that too. I just got the CD in the mail yesterday. Really great album. If you like traditional heavy metal, I think you're really going to dig this album.
It's technically not a bad album. I mean, it's technically a good album.
No, it technically is.
Musically, they're very, very talented and the songs all make sense. There's nothing I didn't like about it. I just don't really appreciate the sound of the guitars, and I don't really like the guy's voice.
Oh, no.
I mean,
those are fine words, sir.
But, I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's just taste. Like, it's not to my taste.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I know.
I can acknowledge it's quality music.
John Bush is one of my favorite vocalists, so. Some of his Anthrax stuff was some of my favorite era of theirs, sir.
It's not for everyone. I mean, but you like a lot of stuff that I don't like, and I know I like a lot of stuff that you don't really like.
That's true. We don't have to like everything together. We're not married.
Exactly.
That's right. So if you are a fan of, you know, Armored Saint or just traditional heavy fucking metal, I say check out this album. I think it's really cool. There's another one I just discovered today. Speaking of like the Red Moon Architect, I need to get more into that. The new Paul Bearer is really, really, really good.
Yeah, and that's on my need to listen more list.
Yes. There's a band called Vessel of Light. You know Ancient Wisdom, that band?
Yeah.
So this is the singer from that band. The guitar player from the band Hades that people know that I'm a huge fan of.
Is this a Christian metal band?
I don't think they are. I don't know. But
it's Ancient Wisdom certainly isn't.
So if you the new album, they put in an EP
What's
out
the
before
name of it?
Vessel of Light.
Vessel of Light.
Yeah. Okay. So it's basically Dan Lorenzo from Hades, Nathan Opposition from Ancient Wisdom, then two other guys that are in Hades. If you like Alice in Chains, like the heavier Alice in Chains stuff, I say give these guys a chance because I think you'd really dig it. And that's it.
All right.
So.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like my geek needs to be tickled really quickly.
Hell yeah.
All right. So, all right. Sorry, I just watched Borat yesterday. We didn't talk about Borat.
Yeah, we should have talked
Borat
about Borat.
Borat is fucking hilarious. So
I haven't laughed so hard since the quarantine started.
There's a lot of quarantine jokes in this movie, too.
Yeah.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, too, one of the things that I've been watching with my wife during this Halloween season is on Disney Plus, they've curated all the Treehouse of Horror episodes together. So we've been going through those. We watched the very first one today when it was before Homer even changed his voice, really. Those old ones are interesting. But we started back in the last season that was on there, and we're sort of going backwards that way. But they're interesting. Some of them are really, really good. Some of them are, eh.
Some of them are really, really bad.
Maybe. I mean, they've done 32 of them or something like that, so it's hard to come up with new ideas every time. But
exactly.
So, George, what's tickling your geek?
I mean, nothing I haven't already mentioned. I am super excited to go on vacation and not work for a week. I think that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I ordered a bike. It's coming in the mail. Oh. Yeah.
I got a bike recently, about a month ago. We're going to go bike riding tomorrow.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited to go bike riding when I get back from vacation.
You should bring it to the woods and go bike riding in the woods.
Well, it's going to arrive while I'm gone.
Oh.
So I can't do that.
Yeah, that free bike, if you go to George's house.
I know.
That's what I heard.
If you're a porch pirate and you need a free bike.
No, someone's already going to be here. Someone has to sign for it when it arrives. So.
Okay.
Ah! I already thought it out. Then I also came across, I've been wanting to find a Ghostbuster no ghost sign for the longest time.
Oh yeah.
And I finally bit the bullet and I bought this one from this website called Geek something. I can't remember. Anyway, it has a lot of good ratings. It's not as big as the originals. It's like maybe a third of the size or a quarter of the size. But it's battery operated. It looks perfect. I'm excited for that to come in. That's coming in the mail soon.
George got his new battery operated boyfriend over there.
That's right. I'm going to hang it somewhere special and stare at it every time I come to my office.
That's right. That's cool.
Yeah, and I need to go by Justin's and pick up my posters at some point. So
I'm still waiting on your Star Wars one to show up. So there's still some time.
There you go. And then I also have a few other ones. And I also bought this new shirt. I don't know if you guys can see it.
I cannot.
Say Rebel Scum.
Yeah,
that's cool.
You are a Rebel Scum.
That's right.
I got a new shirt too. It's a shiny.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
See, that I understand that reference now.
That would make a killer poster.
It would.
I know. I don't know why it's not.
You're not wearing your Morris shirt. I'm wearing a cool, killer new shirt, too. I'm wearing a Jewboy Burgers shirt. Dave, what's tickling your geek?
Apparently the new Draconian album's coming out in a week.
Yes, sir.
I didn't realize. I'm actually tickled.
That's tickling your geek. I'm looking forward to it completely.
I'm also excited to hear. I don't know when I'm going to actually get a hold of it, but I'm excited to hear that the new Doom DLC that dropped is apparently incredibly challenging.
Yes.
I'm excited to hear that.
I've definitely heard that. I'm probably going to pick it up this weekend. I think the first week it's still on sale on the Xbox store, so I'll probably save a couple bucks by doing that. Yeah.
I was trying to decide if I want to just go ahead and do the season pass.
Yeah, that's like $30, I think.
That would be for you, though, since you play that so often.
Yeah, I think that's the best bet for you. Speaking of season pass, did you see Rambo's coming to Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Rambo versus Terminator, come on.
I saw a spoof from The Onion or something about that, and it was like, coming soon, DLC for Mortal Kombat, Rambo, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dewey from Malcolm in the Middle.
I mean, they've gone through a lot of characters. I mean, shit, who else? I'm wondering who else they can get. They've gone through, like, Predator and Xenomorph and Freddy Krueger and Jason and everybody before. They didn't bring all those characters from the older games into the newer stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So some of the DLC. Justin, what about you?
I'm getting married, so that's a thing. We went and got our marriage license yesterday, and we're planning on doing a JOP ceremony in Midland when we're visiting my parents in December, which will be cool.
So you sort of are married already since you got your license. You just have to have the guy sign it.
Legally.
Yeah, we've got to have the officiate and all that stuff. But we're gonna do two weddings. We're gonna do a JOP one in December just to get her on my insurance and stuff like that. It's just more economical to do so. And then mark your calendars, January 16th, 2022. We're planning on doing like a more official type wedding, and you guys will all be invited to that
when all this COVID shit hopefully over.
Yeah, I mean, we're thinking by then it should be a lot better. Hopefully,
did you say? At least something figured out by then.
Yes.
Yeah.
You say January 16th, 2022?
Yep.
Let me look at my schedule.
Hopefully you're not busy on that.
Hopefully not.
You know? Oh, darn.
Tickling my geek right now, we are very, very close to the release of the new video game systems. As far as I know right now, I am going to be getting a PS5 because that's what I've reserved. I did reserve an Xbox Series X through Amazon, but got one of those letters saying, we don't know when we're going to ship it. So, and it's not that big of a deal. I get it when I get it. You know what I mean? We're doing we're sort of doing the layaway thing it on the PS5 at GameStop. Like every paycheck, we'll go in there, throw money down so we don't have to, you know, once it's actually released, we're done. You know what I mean? We don't have to pay for anything. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to Valhalla coming out, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Wardruna has been like, you know, already teasing out music for him and shit. It's really cool. And I'm looking forward to playing Planet Coaster on a console since I don't have a computer that's good enough to play it. So I'm excited for that. Hopefully they'll figure out a way to release all the DLC because there's a lot of DLC for that game. Like you could get like the Munsters house and scenery, and there's like Ghostbusters and Back to the Future shit in that game. So Malcolm in the Middle is coming soon, I believe. Malcolm in the Middle should come to every video game, I think.
I agree. Bryan Cranston was great in that.
But it's being done by the same Frontier Development who did the Jurassic World Evolution game, I think it's what it's called, the console game, and they've proved that you can actually do a park simulator game on a console and have it be really fluid and work really, really well. So I'm looking forward to that. That's it. So on those notes, We have a couple more things to do. Let's get some housekeeping done. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Metal Geeks podcast. Of course, you can find us on the interwebs at metalgeeks.net or metalgeekspodcast.com. We're on all the social medias at Metal Geeks. We're on all kinds of podcast programs, including whether or not iTunes, Apple Music, and Spotify, and Stitcher, and around Amazon Music, Google, all those good places. And of course, visit us at esonetwork.com, where we make up one of the great shows of the many, many, many geeky shows that are part of the ESO Network. Check us out there, and you can, you know, get your geek on. I just made that up.
Very clever.
Thank you. I'm sure nobody's ever come up with that before. I'm copywriting it right now.
All right.
Gonna make millions.
It's Getcha Geek On, like G-E-T-C-H-A.
I'll put that on the back of your shirt.
Okay. I forgot what the front's already going to say.
The front will say, I definitely bang, and then the back will say, Getcha Geek On.
I think you should switch that around. I think you should switch sides.
Yeah, actually, that's better.
You laugh, but I think this is probably going to happen.
Yeah,
it most definitely is.
You are definitely getting this shirt for Christmas, Carrie.
I will definitely do my part to make sure this happens.
Hey, I'm just saying.
I think Dave knows somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I can tell you know it.
All right, so we'll start with Dave, where people can get a hold of you and all your social media stuffs.
Look for at Red Viking Dave on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and I may even update that shit again someday. Who knows?
Nice. And
updates are cool.
Yeah, George.
You can find me on all the social medias at George Tripsis, but more importantly, look up our comic book. Speak No Evil at Gray Bear Comics. It's G-R-A-Y. Justin and I are hard at work at making the next couple of issues come out. Hopefully, at least something to show by the end of the year. You know, it's kind of give a little glimmer of hope in this shit bag of a year. And we also do a comedy podcast, which we haven't done in a while, but hopefully sometime soon. It's called Mind Fudge Podcast. Sorry, my brain's all everywhere.
It's the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast. Get it right, dude.
That's right. Carrie hasn't been on it yet. We should get him on.
I have.
He was on one of the earlier episodes.
You did one episode. That's right. I thought you haven't done it yet.
I see how much you care. That's all right.
It was long time ago.
It was a while ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah, I mean, we haven't been able to record in almost a year. I think the last episode we did was around November of last year. I don't know. Andy's schedule kind of sucks, so it was hard to schedule it out, and then COVID happened. But hopefully, before too long, we'll be able to record again. I know Andy really wants to. I know we both really want to. So pretty soon, hopefully new episodes. But if you want to follow me, you can find me as @comicaljc on Twitter and Instagram. Like George said, check out our comic or our podcast. And yeah, you can find me lurking in poster forums on Facebook.
He's posting in poster forums.
Man, he's out for those waffles right now. That's all I'll say.
Waffle. I live in the Waffle House.
Two last things in housekeeping. If you're on Facebook, please join us over at the Metal Geek Society Facebook group. We're having a lot of fun over there. And I would also like to thank Brian Hogan for keeping up the metal banner and helping out with all some of the social media stuff that we do every day. So thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Thanks to our Facebook group regulars who keep that shit active.
Yes. So. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. If you like geeky stuff, if you like metal, you don't even have to like metal really. We talk about all kinds of stuff in this group and it's growing every day. It's been a lot of fun. It really has. You can go in there and see that freaking William Hung video that I posted. So, anybody specific you want to reach out to? What's that?
How do you really feel about it?
I bang? I don't
there
know.
There you go.
Definitely. definitely.
So
that's gonna be the new slogan for you. This is Carry the Middle Geek and I Bang.
That's right. I Bang Geeky.
You need to. You got to read it off like that, like it's a news anchor salutation,
right? And this is Kerry Gordon is signing off. I bang.
And I bang.
Get some business cards made up.
No, we're not going that
say
far.
I bang.
Dude, totally. Please, just with a thumbs up and a cheap smile man. On it.
All right, I think we should wrap it up now.
You can do it.
I'm not paying for it. All right. On that note, we're out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. Of course, as always.
Oh, hi. Keep it metal. I'm fried, man.
And keep it.
And always keep it geeky.
Keep it geeky. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Keep it geeky while you bang.
Did you hear about I bang?
Yeah, I heard this time.
You put it in there. Carrie bangs. Carrie bangs.
Carrie bangs. She bangs.
Thanks to listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other Metal Geekery needs, please visit MetalGeeks.net.
Monster, why so glum, chum?
Oh, hi, Bane.
I have to write a promo for my podcast.
Well, you should do something like, I am the monster, and I could kill you, but instead, I will simply break you. If you don't listen to my podcast.
I think that's a bit much.
I don't see how that's a problem.
The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi.
From a certain point of view.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.